And what a joy we have God's servant in the house, our daddy, and is here to be a blessing to us. With Jesus' joy in our hearts, shall we put those blessings together as we welcome our daddy as he comes to be a blessing.
Hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Am I hearing the sound of some youths in the house this afternoon? Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Praise, 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 praise. Wave your hand and bless him. Come on, make your shout louder, 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 louder. Woo! Glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Blessed be God forever. In Jesus' precious name. Welcome your neighbors to your right and to your left. Assure somebody you will fulfill God's purpose for your life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The waves of glory, the waves of glory is your portion. You will not miss it in the name of Jesus Christ. Let us worship the Lord one more time as we wave our hands towards heaven. Worship him again. Worship him again. Worship him again. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ. For him alone is worthy. For him alone is Father, we thank you for this very glorious afternoon. We thank you and we exalt your name in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask that you will set your eyes upon this meeting this afternoon, reaching out to every one of these precious children of yours in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Send your word, enlighten our eyes, give us a heart to obey you. Thank you for doing it in Jesus' wonderful name. And all the saints, the youths in the house say loud, amen. Please be seated. Give God another big hand. Get excited in his presence. Hallelujah. In Jesus' holy name. Praise God. I'd like to again this afternoon bring your way the goodwill and the blessing of our Father, the President of the Living Faith Church Worldwide, whom also God directed to kick off the Youth Alive Forum in this ministry for the security of the future of this commission. preparing great leaders for the future. I'd like to bring his goodwill and blessing to you at this moment with appreciation to God for the grace that he has placed upon his life, blessing us at all times. Therefore, receive his goodwill and his blessing in the name of Jesus Christ. Shall we give Jesus a big hand in honor of God's servant, our Father? God is worthy of our praise. Shout hallelujah. I am too sure that every one of us has been getting blessed, not only at Shiloh here, but in our various locations, our stations, our campuses, in the Youth Alive Forum at our various levels. And we thank God for all of the testimonies we are hearing from every one of you. And it's our desire and prayer that whatever we have been able to do by the help of God, you will do far greater. Amen. I thought I heard somebody say amen. Amen. I say you will do far greater. Amen. Whatever you have seen happen to us in this place as leaders, particularly by the hand of our Father Bishop Oyedepo, there are individuals seated here. And I believe somebody is taking it right now. There are individuals seated here. There are individuals seated here. There are individuals seated here who will do far greater than that. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, you are our hand in the future. You are the picture that we have for the future. And we are full of assurance that by diverse instructions and impartations you are receiving, you will do the kingdom of God greater pride when it is your time. And that time is here. In the name of Jesus Christ. Shout hallelujah. The sessions allotted to the Youth Alive Forum in the course of Shiloh 2011 will be running in 3 sessions, beginning from this afternoon, tomorrow, and Friday by the grace of God. And our series of teaching is captioned, Fulfilling Your Glorious Destiny. Fulfilling Your Glorious Destiny. And I think someone would like to personalize it right now. And what will you say? What will you say? Say it by faith. Even if you don't look like it now, say it again. You will get there, say it again. No devil will stop you. Declare it one more time. Amen. Words are instruments of war. Words are instruments of war. You have said it, and it shall come to pass. Our anchor scripture is Romans chapter 8. Quite familiar. Verses 28 to 30. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. If you're a lover of God, say, I love God. And what happens to all lovers of God? All things work together for their good, including the devil. Amen. Anytime you see the devil attacking you, it's unemployment. Because no matter what he does, the scripture paints the picture of the end, that it will be for your good. So when you see the devil attacking you, you may as well tell him, well done. Because everything will turn against him for your good. All things work together For good to them that love God, to them who are the called. Take note of the word the called. Say me, I am the called. You are one of the people who are called, the called, according to his purpose. For you, whom he did foreknow, he also predestinated to be confronted to the image of God, conformed to the image of God, of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now you can see the process. Before you knew it, he called you according to his purpose, that is, according to divine plan. And all through the journey, because he has predestinated you even before you were saved, he orchestrated your steps. Did not allow the devil to kill you before the time. And then he called you by justifying you through faith in Jesus. And the ultimate end of that salvation or justification is your glorification. So every child of God has a destination. And that destination is nothing short of glorification. So when you are born again, you are put on the track. You are on the track. There is no other destination for a child of God less than glorification. Help me say to your neighbor, you are meant for glorification. Now, if your neighbor didn't say it well to you, you better say it to yourself. Your destination is glorification. Your destination is glorification. Now, I like to sound this to you very well, because Satan is out to confuse many. Some will ask, if it is so, why is my life like this? There are things that may happen between the time God spoke to you and the time it will be fulfilled. Joseph had a dream, and it took a while. In the process, he went through untold hardship. It was like a setback for him. But in the end, according to scriptures, it shall speak. Whatever is happening to you now is only temporal. Whatever is happening to you now is an indication that you are under construction. I always tell people, when people look at you and say you are not good, you are good for nothing, and they look down at you, just simply tell them, please don't appraise me now. It is too early. Come back later and check me. I'm under construction now. I'm under construction now. Hallelujah. The truth is, if anybody looks down on you or at you, you are not the first person to experience that. No. People have looked down at us before thinking, oh, what will they amount to? But now we have not only amounted to things, they are coming to beg for things from us. That will be your story in the name of Jesus. Your destination is glorification. Your destination is what? Say it. Believe it. Say it better. What is your destination? Say it with a smile on your face. Look at that future and say, I'm coming, I'm coming, I'm coming there. Oh, I'm coming. Say to your future, I'm on the way coming. I'm on the way coming. Get ready for me. I'm on the way. Get ready. I'm on the way coming. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, our first teaching briefly is locating God's purpose for your life. If He has a purpose for you, you have to locate it. God determines the location. You discover the location. This is where the challenge is for many. The subject of your destiny manifests by the cooperation between God and you. God wants you to participate in realizing your destiny. Even though He is the one who determined it, He wants your first participation to be the discovery of it. And you know why He wants you to discover it? Because discovery brings joy. Discovery brings joy. He designed you, He determined you, but He wants you to discover you. Nobody has the authority or audacity to discover you for you. If they do, they will take pride on you. When you do, you have joy. What you discover brings you joy, brings you fulfillment, brings you excitement. The Lord took Jeremiah on a journey and said to him, Jeremiah, before I formed thee, I knew thee. And I have assigned you to a particular purpose before you are formed in the womb of your mother. I have assigned you. I have designed you. I have assigned you. Listen to this. What God designs you for is what He assigns you to. What He designs you for is what He assigns you to. This microphone was designed for voice amplification. And therefore, it is assigned to my hand right now to be used and is doing the job effectively. Your effectiveness in life, therefore, is the location or the discovery of your assignment. What am I here for? Your assignment in life. Your assignment. Why is this as important? It's important because it is your assignment that determines your attainments. It is your assignment that determines your attainment. Great people don't pray to go up. They only climb up via their assignment. Your assignment can be likened to a ladder that you use to gain height. Ladder is designed for gaining height. As you go through the rung of the ladder, you are gaining height. So also it is with your assignment. Without assignment, there cannot be attainment. Check it in life. Every attainment is a function of discovered assignment. It is your assignment that creates your attainment. It is your assignment that creates your future. It is your assignment that enhances your height. It is your assignment that brings you your beauty, your glory, your honor, your riches. Your assignment. Therefore, the crave of your soul should be, what is my assignment? Your assignment is your defense, your safety,
your covering.
Some people ask me, for instance, why are you with Bishop Oyedepo? And I say to them, it's an assignment. It's an assignment. I say to them, not everybody will lead a ministry. And in any case, you don't have to start a ministry to have a ministry. Now see, people have misplaced priorities. That's why they're on the floor. That's why they're struggling. Your assignment determines your attainment, not position, not crave for recognition. Do you know that it is not everybody that has capacity to start a business? Some people are doing well as employees where they are, and they even succeed in having savings, doing well, build house or houses. But as soon as they step out in the name of I want to have my own, things just go down for them because it's not designed for it. Now people just have to locate where they are. This subject is so diverse and intricate that you have to personally be involved before your God, asking him for clear direction, asking him for clear picture of what you should do with your life. And the earlier you do that, the better. What am I designed for? What am I assigned to? God said to Jeremiah, I have designed you. I knew you. That means I have your details. Before I even formed you in your mother's womb, I have sanctified thee. The word sanctified there means to set aside. I have set you aside. I have a calling upon your life. And I ordained you to be a prophet unto nations. I assign you to be prophets to nations. If there is any prayer I want to pray for you this afternoon, it is that you will discover your assignment in the name of Jesus. That's very important. It's one of the prayers that great people pray. Now, if I may quickly call your attention to the story of Moses. I saw Moses prayed three definite prayers for himself. And I consider those prayers to be the greatest prayer anyone can ever pray. In Exodus chapter 33. Number one, Moses said, let your presence go with us. Number two, Moses prayed, Lord, show me the way. And number three, Moses prayed, Lord, show me your glory. Great people don't pray menial prayers. Give me this, give me that, give me that. They are secondary prayers. There is a way you line up with divine plan that everything lines up with you. And this is one of such prayers. Lord, what is my assignment? But if I may quickly get us to see some signposts to locating God's purpose for your life. Number one signpost to locating God's plan from your life, because you begin from the known to the unknown. You begin from observation to discovery. You begin from self-examination to revelation. So you begin, first of all, by asking yourself, what are the things I have flair for? As a natural person, what do I have a flair for? Now, this is different from formal education. Now, we are all encouraged to go to school. And the reason is so that we can create a platform for enlightenment. Schooling is a basic platform or platform for basic enlightenment. Schooling gives you opportunity to interact intellectually. But that is not necessarily the foundation for your destiny. I have found many people who went through school and after schooling, they never even used their certificate because they discovered certain flares that they had that perhaps they did not even study for because God already designed them for it. Now, there are things that look so ordinary to us that God someday may use to fulfill purpose in our lives. That's why anything that you have a flair for should not be neglected. There are things that look insignificant and unpopular. You know, what I've discovered, especially with youths, is look, when they hear something is working there, everybody's running there. Something, everybody's running there. Everybody's running there. What are my natural instincts? What are the things that excites me to do? There are certain things you just find you are excited at doing them. Observe yourself. Examine yourself. Look inward. Now, such are the things that are referred to sometimes as talents. Talents. Natural endowments. And you see, God put them into you not to waste them, but to use them. Jesus told a parable of a man who was going on a journey and he called his three servants and he gave them talents. He gave them talents. So, talents are natural endowments. The things you did not necessarily study to know or to have the ability to do. In Matthew chapter 25, the parable began from verses 14 to 30. There are some who never studied marketing, but very good in marketing. When they speak, you have no choice but to buy. Amen. May God help you to locate His purpose for your life. Amen. Let me hear your amen. Amen. Let me hear your loud amen. Amen. Somebody's receiving it now. Say loud amen. Amen. You have to draw a line between what you like to do and what you are assigned to do. There are some people who like to be in ministry. They like to be called pastor. They like to be called evangelist. But they are not assigned to it. They are not assigned to it. There are things you like. They may be different from what He assigns you to do. Next year, Shiloh, somebody here will come to share a testimony of discovery. Locating God's purpose for your life. Do you have certain flares? I have discovered that many people become great just simply by discovering their natural flares. There are people who never went to school of music, yet are high up in music. And they sing with ease. There are others who have gone to studio several times. They have worked several records nobody's buying. They even give it free of charge. People they give it to, they don't play it. Amen. There are people who go about from place to place. Can I come to minister in your church? Can I come to minister? And nobody is willing to invite them. They say, no. Can I come? They say, no. They just give them right answer. No, you can't come. Yeah, there are others, they line up begging them, please, when can you come? Because that is what God assigned them to. When you discover your assignment, the doors cannot be shut against you. Doors are never shut against assignment. Never. Now, when your natural flares called talents are developed, then it grows up to what we call a gift. It grows up to becoming a gift. And the gift of a man maketh room for him. And maketh him to stand before great men. Often, it is the development of our talents that becomes a gift. So another wave or another signpost to locating divine plan is via your gift. What am I gifted for? What do I do with ease? What do I do without stress? There are things that you are doing, you too know that you are just struggling. Struggling. If God called a man to be a pastor, for instance, and in 3 years is gathering a crowd of 20 people, he should check it. God is not a time waster. He can't allow you to spend 3 years struggling on the same spot. It's too much in a hurry for the church to grow than for you to be crawling. Because the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. So you grow from talents and then to gift and then to calling. A call is something that comes from God without cognizance to your natural capability, even though God may use it, but he didn't call you because of what you could do. That's why most people who are called don't have the natural tendency or natural flair or natural capability to do what they are called to do. As a matter of fact, God called them because they couldn't do it. Of course, that is few in number compared with all of us who, by the grace of God, are endowed with certain talents. There are people who are just good in administration, who perhaps did not even study business administration. They are just good. They are good arrangers. They are good in organizing things. They are good in decorating things. They are good in making things presentable. There are others, whatever their hands touch, just work. Anything they touch, just work. Their brain instructs their hands to do things right. They don't need to plan it. They don't need to think it. Just take it to them and they fix it for you. They are endowments God placed inside them, which upon which, after discovery, they develop and it becomes a gift to them. It becomes a personal property for the advancement. So it's important for each of us to settle down. Because like you have heard over and over again, life is a personal adventure. Life is a personal adventure, which also means that the location or discovery of your purpose is not for lazy drones. It's not for lazy people. The unfortunate thing about life is many people are looking for who to fix life for them. Nobody can help you better than you. The best helping hand is at the end of your hand. Accept personal responsibility to reflect over your life, over your activities, over the things you are doing. There are people who just have natural care for others. There may be a message in that, that God wants you to do something that will earn you a future. Ordinary people with what may look like ordinary talents have made a great name all across the globe. So it's not about locating what some people may call a big vision. And in any case, every so-called big vision began small. So it's not just about, look, I have a big vision. No. All of us may not have what you may describe as a big vision, but we can locate something that creates for you a niche. Something that will be needed by others, that when you are not there, a vacuum will be created. And that is the whole essence of God sending you here. He saw a vacuum somewhere and he called you to fill in the vacuum. I pray this afternoon that each of us seated here will locate God's purpose for our lives. He said, I know the plan which I have towards you, the plan of good and not of evil, to give you a future and a end. You will get there in Jesus' precious name. I say you will get there in Jesus' precious name. You will get there in Jesus' precious name. You will get there in Jesus' precious name. Now see, before David discovered God's call upon his life, he was using his talent. What was his talent? He had the flair to use his sling. David never missed his target once. He had the gift of the hand working with the eye. When he spots a prey, he calculates with his eyes, and his eyes instruct his hand to the degree of the throw, the speed of the throw to get the prey. So in the process, David met with the lion and the bear. And using his talent, he killed the bear. And using the talent, he killed the lion. And now it was time for him to kill Goliath. He said, man, I got some talent here. I got some gift here. And what he used made a room for him. Now, never ignore that little thing that you can do. Never. Many are busy looking for what they call the big hit. I always tell people that only those who master the small will qualify for the big. Big has one definition, and if you like to hear that, big is small plus small plus small plus small plus small to infinity. Small, 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 small. By the time you come back, it has become big. You come back again, it is bigger. So never ignore that thing that you call small. Never. And suddenly, the Lord came and said, through Samuel, he said, I have found someone in the house of Jesse. He has used his talent well. Now listen to me. These things are ingrates. If you don't use your natural flair well, it will not become a gift. If you don't use your gift well, it will not become a calling. Today, a number of us see great servants of God like Bishop Oyedepo. Oh, that's a great man of God. God gave him a very special gift. True. But you need to know where he was before God called him. Using the talents, using the gift before qualifying for the call. Teaching small Bible class groups. Praying faithfully as he's assigned to. And God said, now I have found you. Before Samson came out to fight with the Philistine, the Bible tells me that occasionally the Spirit will move him in the camp as he exercised himself. It's my prayer that Shiloh 2011 will reveal to you God's plan for your life. In the precious name of Jesus Christ. In the precious name of Jesus Christ. In the process of locating God's plan or purpose for your life, there are certain witnesses that can help you to certify that you are on course. Because this thing is a process. You may never get to know all the fullness of God's plan for your life in a short time in life, because God unveils them to us in gradual processes. There are things he has in store for you on page 91. If you don't know page 1, you'll never get to page 2. Our journey in life is as a book. Many of us want to jump to page 200. But there is a wide gap between page 10 and page 200. So, all through your life journey, things keeps unveiling and unveiling and unveiling. But the basics have to be discovered early in life. How do you know what are the witnesses that you have as you are identifying God's purpose for your life? First of all, you will have peace of mind. Peace. When you are not in God's plan, you will be troubled. Troubled within and troubled around. Peace of mind. Peace of mind. Assurance. Now you see, there are things that you know you have discovered to be God's plan. In the immediate, perhaps, it's not even bringing to you financial rewards, but you have peace of mind. Financial reward is the last thing to use as a statistic for locating God's plan for your life. It's part of it, divine provision. But the first thing is, do I have peace in my mind? Peace means assurance. Do I have assurance in my heart? When God led me to follow God's servant Bishop Oyedepo, there seemed not to be much financial blessing that comes with it. But I had an assurance in my heart. I had an assurance in my heart that I'm in the right place, following the right man, doing a right assignment. This is most valuable. Peace of mind. Peace of mind. His soul shall dwell at ease. Psalm 25, verse 14 and 15. His soul shall dwell at ease. Psalm 23, verses 1 and 2. He leadeth me by the still waters. By the still waters. By the still waters. I'm the Lord thy God, which leadeth thee in the way that you should go. He said, if you hearken to me, then your peace will be as rivers. You find all of that in Isaiah chapter 48 from verses 17 to 21. Assurance. Assurance in your soul. Number two that looks like it is joy, excitement, enthusiasm. You wake up in the morning, your soul is bubbling to go back to that place, to go back to that thing. Anything that you are doing that does not give you excitement is not what you are called to do. It's not what you are called to do. David had a natural excitement to be among the sheep. Even after he was anointed by Samuel to be king, he went back to the field. He went back to the field to be among the sheep because that was his flair. That was his calling. He enjoyed using the shepherd's rod and using his sling. He enjoyed carrying a small guitar to play the music. He was not looking for where they would invite him. He was just excited. So one of the witnesses you have about your assignment in life is that you are excited at it. I've never lost my excitement once being a pastor. Never. I've never lost my excitement once. Even when I had one pair of shoes and one coat to wear. I'd never lost my excitement. Even when I was sleeping on bench as a pastor. I had no bed. I was sleeping on bench. Yet nobody knew. For 3 years I was in that church. Nobody knew the first year when I was sleeping on bench. Until I was sharing the testimony. They were wondering, could this be true? Because of the overwhelming joy. When I come to church, it's like coming out of a palace. Amen. It was a small church, so to say, but so overwhelming with joy. So overwhelming with joy. Nobody had opportunity to say sorry to me. Why? I located my assignment. Everywhere I went to, I was so excited to introduce myself as a pastor. When I meet with people, professionals, and everybody is introducing themselves, this is what I do. I just tell them I'm a pastor. With excitement. Without making reference to what I used to have or what I used to do. Ever since I stepped into this assignment, I've never introduced myself with my previous background. There are people today, in order to still maintain class, when they make their card as a pastor, they put engineer, pastor. Or pastor, engineer. For what? That means he wishes that he's still connected to the thing he used to be. It doesn't work that way. That means he's not excited. Let him go back to his engineering. It's not needed. When you locate your assignment, you are excited in doing it. So look, therefore, for the things that gives you peace, for the things that create joy and excitement around you to do. Don't live as if you are being punished. Don't go through life as if you are under pressure. Shout hallelujah. So you have peace of mind. You have joy that's overwhelming. And of course, you have ease. Ease in your endeavors. Things just work with ease for you. If you like, you are stress-free. You are not under stress. Things are just working at such frequency that gives you a witness that you are on track. May I say, therefore, that anything you are doing that is causing you stress is not your assignment. It's not assignment. Anything that you are doing that is causing you stress is not your assignment. As a pastor, for instance, I've been privileged to pastor different levels of churches. without one sleepless night. You have heard God's servant, Bishop Oyedepo, keep saying, I don't have a sleepless night over this church or over this ministry. Why? Because it is God's assignment. God does not give you assignment that will create burden around you. Anything you are doing that is putting you under pressure, under burden, should be checked. If you are doing business and you are under stress, check it. Check it. If you're a student and you are in a program that is putting you under stress, check it. Particularly if you are not lazy, but this thing is putting you under unnecessary stress, stress in your mind, stress in your body. You are working very hard, but you are under stress. Check it. Check it. I've met with certain individuals who are bent on doing a particular course. And it's not working. And it's not as if he's not intelligent. He's intelligent, but something is creating some opposition on his way. Listen to me. When you are confronted by opposition, it's not every opposition that you fight. There are some oppositions that are allowed by God in order for you to recheck your steps. So before you fight, you should stand before the opposition and say, Lord, what are you saying? Lord, what are you saying? Lord, what? If he says, fight back, fight. If he says, my son, turn, you better turn. So that you can live to fight the next battle. There are some people who are fighting a lost battle. They are fighting a battle in which they have already lost. You just die. Anything putting you under stress, anything putting you under stress is not ordained of God, because Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He promised you rest, so he can't be giving you a burden. Can't be giving you a burden. Ease. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, they put an hammer on David. David said, I'm not used to this. The Bible says, after the hammer was placed on him by Saul, David attempted to move, but he could not. He said, excuse me, sir, will you remove this thing from me? After they removed it from him, he went for a sling and the stones and the shepherd's bag. Ease. No stress of any kind. Is that number three or number four? Huh? Number three. Okay, number four. You know, we're talking about witnesses within you and around you that gives you an indication that you have either located divine plan or you are in the process of locating it. You are developing it. It's speed of accomplishment. Speed of accomplishment. Speed. Speed of accomplishment. When it is God's assignment, you will have speed. 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 When you have located your assignment, you don't suffer delays. What others are doing in 30 years, God helps you to do it in 3-4 years. Because you are in your assignment. Shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. From Shiloh 2011, I command speed of accomplishment for you. Number five, you have strength, agility, drive. You become drivey in the things which you are assigned to do. Judges chapter 6, verse 14. Have not I said to thee, go in this your might. Go in this your might. Go in this your might. Strength, vigor. Have not I sent thee, go in this thy might. Go in this thy might. When you are in your assignment, you are strong, you are agile, you are driving, you are tireless. Shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. And one more. When you are in your assignment, you see prophets attending to you. Prophets attending to you. Rewards coming your way. That is after you have used these other parameters. The ultimate of it is profit. Rewards. Profit, which is not limited to finance. Open doors. Favors. Divine connections. People trusted in you. They are connecting you. You are enjoying connections without begging for one. If, for instance, you have the gift of writing and you become an author, if it is God ordained, it will open doors for your books. If you are in music, it will open doors for your music. If you are a teacher, it will open door for you as a teacher. They'll be begging you to come because you are a teacher with a difference. Shout hallelujah. If you're an evangelist, doors will be opening to you without begging for where you can come go to preach. If you're a teacher or on an itinerant ministry, doors will just be opening to you. Connection, profit, rewards, open doors. If you're a caterer, doors will be opening to you. Connection, 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 divine connection. When it is your God-ordained assignment, connections. If you're a designer, connections. Connections. May I say, therefore, that you require the maintenance of focus. The moment you see these signs, maintain focus. Maintain focus. Because only those who have focus will end as a focus. Maintain focus. Now, listen to this. You must be sensitive to responding to opportunities. Opportunities are great, but some opportunities can end you in the grave. And I'll show you from Jesus' example. In John chapter 6, Jesus performed a miracle of feeding 5,000 people. And the people of that community came to him and said, "We are going to make you our king." They wanted to force him to be their king. What a way, what a cheap way, so to say, to quickly become a king that God promised him. In verse 15, Jesus therefore perceived that they will come and take him by force. By force, to make him a king. What did he do? He ran away. He departed again into him. There are things you must depart from. Not all opportunities are God ordained. Some opportunities are traps. They are traps. Be sensitive by maintaining focus on your God-given assignment. Be sensitive. There are things that looks great. There are doors that looks wonderful. But if you ever step into them, that is the end of your journey. Focus. Don't jump into just anything that comes your way. Focus. 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 He said, "Let every man abide in the calling wherein he is called." 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 20 and 24. And finally, have faith in your assignment. Have faith. The moment you locate God's purpose in your life, have faith. Believe it. Others may not believe it. Believe it. Believe it. David believed in a sling. He went for it. He didn't disregard the king, but he believed in it. His brothers told him, "David, you can't make it." The king told him, "David, you can't make it." David said, "Just give me a trial. Hear me out. Give me a chance." He didn't fight. He didn't argue. But he sought opportunity to prove himself. And as he proved himself, it became clear to all that he could. Paul the apostle said, "I magnify my office." Romans chapter 11 verse 13. "I magnify my office. That means I have faith in my assignment. I magnify. You see, whenever God gives you an assignment, it's only you who know it. It's only you who believe it. People will believe it only when it has proofs. So don't wait for people to believe it. It will take time for them to believe it. As a matter of fact, there are people, you have to force them to believe you by result. Huh? When I told my relations I was going to ministry, nobody believed it. For a long time, nobody was asking after me. But when they started hearing about the results, they started sending me letters. Hey, we hear about what God is doing. When can I come to see you? I said, no, not now. Don't come yet. Hallelujah. Very soon they will hear about you. Is somebody blessed at all? Did you get anything at all? Are you sure you will accept the responsibility? Come Shiloh 2012. You will come back here with a testimony. The words I've spoken to you are words of power. Therefore, I decree the impartation of drive, of accepting responsibility to discover God's purpose for your life in the name of Jesus. Place your right hand upon your heart. I decree, stand up, everybody, place your right hand upon your heart. I decree that you will no longer be confused about God's plan for your life. I decree that day or night, in the course of Shiloh 2011, divine plan shall be unveiled to you. So shall it be. In Jesus' precious name. Give Jesus a big hand and get seated. Hallelujah. Praise God. Salvation is key to discovery of divine purpose. God is committed to you only when you commit your life to Him. If you are seated here this afternoon, you know you are not born again. You have not handed over your life to Jesus. Until you commit your life to Him, He is not committed to your life. I want to pray for you right now. Wherever you are seated, you want to be born again. You want to give your life to Jesus. You want to commit your life to Him so that He can be committed to your life. Give me a chance to pray for you. I love you very dearly, and I know Jesus wants to do some work in your life. Where you are seated, I know God is already talking to you that, look, you are the one that the pastor is talking about. Stand to your feet right now as I pray for you. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. God bless you. Stand to your feet. Wherever you are, stand to your feet. You want to be born again? You want Jesus in your life? And all of you who are standing up, take a step to the altar here so you can be prayed for. In all of the viewing centers, respond as you move towards the altar, wherever you are. You want to be born again, God bless you. Some are already coming. Don't be the last person to come. Give Jesus a big hand, everybody in the assembly, as we receive them right now. What a blessing. What a day. What a salvation. Jesus is still winning souls. Give God a big hand, everybody. Maybe you have been born again before, but you are backslidden under whatever circumstance, you can't tell. But today you want to renew your faith. You want to get back on course with Jesus. Wherever you are, stand up as well. Take a step down the altar here. Come quickly, come quickly, come quickly, come quickly. Now, as you go from here, go in peace. Enjoy the remaining days in Shiloh. Make discoveries of God's plan for your life. I decree that every scheme of the devil over your life be destroyed. All of your heart's desire as Shiloh finds speedy fulfillment. You are blessed. Wave your hand and give glory to God.